song that Rick led previous to that one. For you have promised. The chorus on that said, I will tell you, I will tell of your salvation, for all you have promised are true, and I believe. Let's keep that in mind. That's going to tie in towards the end of our sermon here. Keep in mind tonight, Brother Ryan King will be back with us to preach for us in the evening. We appreciate him. He always has a good word for us. You know, as we read through God's Word, as we study God's will for us, have you noticed that something is missing from Christ's life and Christ's ministry? What could possibly be missing from Christ's life and Christ's ministry? Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody. And our base text for our consideration this morning is going to be Philippians chapter 2. And we'll get there in just a few minutes. Before we do, I've got one question, another question that I want to ask you. If you were going to pick out one thing, and there's many answers to this, more than one, but if you were going to pick out one thing that you think so clearly sets the Christian apart from the rest of the world, what one thing comes to mind? First comes to mind. You got that? You apparently have something in your mind. Some of you are going to say, well, the Christians don't use foul language. And that's a good answer, because there is a clear distinction between the language of a Christian and the language of the world, or the vocabulary. And there most certainly should be. Some of you might have thought, well, the Christians, they don't covet like a lot of people. I hope we can say that. Everyone is always wanting more and more and more. They're always desirous, never seeming to have enough. That's a good answer as well. Some of you might have thought, well, Christians aren't as hateful as most of the world. You know, you can walk through Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, even the pharmacy, and you can just listen to people, how people react with salespeople in restaurants, even how people react with salespeople, how mothers react with their children, how fathers react with their children, how brothers and sisters react with one another. And there's a bunch of hateful people in the world. So you would like to think that Christians aren't as hateful as most of the world. Or maybe you thought, well, as Christians, we've got a lot more patience than worldly people. And we most certainly hope that to be true. Those are all good answers. But have you thought about this one? Christians don't grumble or complain as much. Because we do. We grumble. We complain. And I'm here to tell you, we're sinning when we do. Can we say that about ourselves? We don't grumble and we don't complain. Can we say that about ourselves? Did you think about this one before you thought about the other five? Probably not. As we read and study, you may have noticed something missing from the Christ life and Christ ministry. And it was complaining. There's all this stuff happening to Christ. Most of it not good. Not good. And we all know what happened to him throughout his life and throughout his ministry. And there isn't a word of complaint that Jesus uttered throughout his ministry. You know, that's pretty much an eye-opener for us. Should be. When you consider all that he went through and the tough life that he lived. And I don't think we have a clue as to the tough life he lived. You know, when he journeyed, he walked. I can't even walk 100 yards. And this man walked miles and miles and miles. But for just a few minutes this morning, we're going to look at complaining. But first, let me clarify something before we do. Many times when we stand before you, whether it's Rick, Jason, Jeff, David, myself, many of the times the topics that we select, we're preaching to ourselves. Many times we're preaching to ourselves. We look in the mirror and we do an evaluation, and that's the case this morning. I'm preaching to myself here. You're just a captive audience and you're getting to hear about it. And that's certainly the case. You know, we look at God's Word and we see how we should be, and then we apply it to our lives and try to make the changes that are necessary. So complaining. What do we know about complaining? Well, first of all, it's universal. Everybody complains. Complaining, you might think, oh, it's just simply expressing dissatisfaction about something, and it's usually done in a verbal way. That's a simple definition, but it's not as simple as that. Complaining usually happens in the wake of some kind of a negative situation. Maybe the traffic was worse than usual. The movie was disappointing. The contractor did a bad job on our renovation work or work on our house. The city council, they should have never approved that last development. Whatever. There's many, many things. For the most part, complaining is about real things. At least in our eyes, they're real things. They may be significant. They may be petty. But the things that we complain about, they're usually real. Again, at least in our own eyes. They aren't fake. We don't make them up. See, we don't complain about the good things. We don't complain about the pleasant things. But the world is such that there are plenty of negative things for people to complain about. So when we're complaining, we need to realize that this is the world that we live in. This is the world that we have to endure. And when I wrote this sermon, I thought about the fabrics of meaningful Christianity, how all those came into play in us enduring this world that we live in. There's always going to be something for which we could complain about. And of course, it's not just situational either. Personal factors come into play. You might notice that some people complain at the drop of a hat. And then other people have more of a tolerance. They can hold their tongue. There apparently is some kind of complaining threshold that has to be met before we start to complain. But it doesn't matter. Children of God, really, complaining should be avoided. Philippians chapter 2, if you've turned there with me. The Spirit inspires Paul to write to the Philippians about this. He writes in chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, 15, and 16. Well, actually in verse 13, he says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure." And then he goes off and he says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Now some translations translate it saying murmurings and disputing, but the Greek translation, it's the same. So the Spirit says, do all things without complaining and grumbling, so that you can be seen as a person of light. So in the midst of a dark world, we can also be seen as to what's right or good and what's wrong. If you're complaining or if you're grumbling, you or somebody else is dimming that light. You no longer shine in this dark world. You simply blend in with the darkness. But perhaps what is more important is what he says in verse 15 there. Notice what he says, that you may become blameless, that you may become children of God without fault, he says. Now we can look at this verse from the flip side. We can say, if you're a grumbler and a complainer, you're a child of God, but you have a fault. And according to verse 15, We are to be blameless and harmless. Now, the New American Standard renders it blameless and innocent, I believe. Child of God. And if we're complaining, we're falling short of that requirement. But Paul's not finished yet. Look what he says in verse 16. Holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Well, by implication here, if we are a complainer and a grumbler, we cannot and we are not holding fast the word of life. The Word of God plainly teaches that we shouldn't be this way. We shouldn't be complainers and grumblers. Well, we all fall short. We all fall short. And you may have complained yesterday about something and feel really bad about it. You might have complained even this morning about something already today. And I hope that you feel bad about it if you did. And we just can't write it off as that's no big deal. Everybody complains. No, it's sinful to grumble and complain. And we need to feel guilty about it. Now, you young ones, listen up here. Rowan, Laurel, Annavae, Ava, Andrew, Ayanna, all of you, listen up here for a second. I'm not just talking to the adults here. I'm talking to everyone. I'm not just talking to the Christians. I'm talking to the Christians, the non-Christians, the young people, the older people, the mature people. God doesn't want us to complain. Your parents, they probably get on to you when you complain. And you probably complain about that. Any parent worth their salt is going to get on to you for complaining. Because they have no desire for you, as their children, to grow up as a complainer, as a grumbler in life. That's not what God wants from us. We often pray that our children grow up in the admonition of God's Word. And learning not to complain is part of that process. And parents, learning to teach your children not to complain is part of that process as well. We can't blow it off as some insignificant character fault or use the excuse, oh, I'm just a kid, or I'm young, I'm just a child. That may seem the simple out. But if you're old enough to understand what the word complaint means, then you're old enough to know you shouldn't be doing it. We have to consider that complaining can potentially be damning to our souls. That may seem as a bit of an overstatement, but we'll talk more about it here in just a minute. I think you'll understand here in a few minutes. If we expect to be different from the world, if we expect to be set apart, if we're truly going to be seen as a child of God, and our faith be more than a vain exercise that will disappoint us in the end, then we mustn't be complainers. Another thing about complaining, it does no good. It does no good. Let's say that we're driving along and we have a flat tire. This is a simplistic example. We have a flat tire. There are so many reasons to complain there. Oh, it's going to make me late. There's going to be nobody here to help me change this tire. I'm going to get my clothes dirty. I'm going to have to go back home and change my clothes. So on and so on. We could do so many complaints to just that one simple issue. But at the end of the day, the tire's still flat. At least it is on the bottom anyway. The tire's still flat. And it still has to be changed. Maybe you get out and you change it yourself. Maybe you call roadside assistance. Maybe you call AAA. I don't know. But the tire still has to be changed. Bottom line is, complaining is of very little benefit, if any. And another thing about complaining, it's actually harmful. Now we're going to look at four ways that complaining is harmful. First of all, it disobeys God. Philippians 2:14 tells us not to complain. If God's command is to don't complain and we're sitting around complaining and grumbling, then I'm going to contend that disobeying God is going to be harmful to us. And we really need to dig deep within ourselves and make the changes that are needed. Complaining is so universal. The world is such a mess, and we have such an entrenched sinful nature. This morning in Bible class, we talked about free will. And it is our will. We'll talk more about that here in a minute. It's our choice to complain or not. But we have such an entrenched sinful nature that complaining is not just going to go away because we wake up one morning and we say, I'm not going to complain anymore. It's not that easy. We are creatures of habit, and we have that entrenched sinful nature. We have to make an intense effort if we're going to change ourselves and not complain. I remember years ago, I took a Dale Carnegie class on public speaking, I think it was. Yeah. And I just did something twice, and I'll tell you what it is. And what they taught us was sensitize yourself that when you're speaking, if you're guilty of using the word or you know, or something like that, sensitize yourself to hearing yourself saying it. And it's only when you get there can you stop yourself from saying that. Because it's a habit. And that's one thing they taught us. And that's the way we have to do about complaining. Sensitize yourself to realize when you're complaining or grumbling. Without doing that, we can't stop ourselves. We can't affect the change that's needed. Second way that complaining is harmful. It confirms that our ignorance or lack of respect for the world situation. And what is the world situation, you might ask? Well, John tells us in 1 John 5:19, he says, we know that we are of God. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And that kind of sums it up. The whole world lies under the sway of the devil. What we see all around us is a model of the devil. Why are there evil and selfish people? Why are there so many oppressive governments? Why is our tax money wasted? Why this? Why that? We could go on. The list could be endless. Because the world is under the sway of the devil, and he makes sure there's plenty of things for us to complain about. Look again at Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We're surrounded by crooked and perverse people and all of their actions. Crooked people create perverse situations. And we're in the midst of it all. We're right in the middle of it all. Again, giving us no shortage of things to complain about. Acts 14:22 tells us, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So what's the world situation? The world is tough. The world is evil. The world is devilish. And we can complain about it if we want to. But if we do, one, it does no good. And two, that's exactly what the devil would have us to do, is to complain about the world that we live in. Third way that complaining is harmful, that it surrenders our power to graciously accept a given situation. It gives away our power to graciously accept a trouble or a negative situation and potentially change that situation. When trials and situations are presented, like we said a minute ago, we have a choice. We can sit around and complain and do nothing and nothing will change. Or we can graciously accept the situation and focus on how to handle ourselves. We have the power to graciously accept those situations. And if we make the decision to grumble and complain, we've just given up that power to graciously accept a situation. And the fourth way that complaining is harmful, it minimizes our witness of hope. Complaining, it's kind of like the world is never going to end. There is no hope. I think of that cartoon character Eeyore, who's always walking around. Oh, woe is me. What are all the other things that he says? Yet, as children of God, we know better. We know there is hope. Paul tells us what that hope is in his introduction to Titus 1:1. Paul writes, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And then Paul also writes to the Thessalonians in his first book to them in chapter 2, verse 19. He says, for what is our hope, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? That is our hope. Can we use the challenges of this life to magnify our hope? Of course we can. Absolutely we can. How we handle situations speaks volumes to those around us. We're being watched. Just like I noticed how people are hateful, people can also notice if we complain. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And in verse 16 he says, so let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Complaining isn't letting our light shine, and that behavior certainly does not glorify God the Father. We can complain about things of this world and nothing changes, or we can tell others what lies in our hope, thus magnifying our hope. Matthew 5, we'll stay in Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. He says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. How many of you can complete that? For great is your reward in heaven. For great is your reward in heaven. We can complain about people, or we can, or are we going to go on doing what Christ said and rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because we know what our reward is. Something was missing from Christ's ministry. And if you pay attention as you read God's Word, and if you study His will for us, you'll see that Christ doesn't complain. He accepts situations, He looks to the future, and He talks about the goodness of things. The perfect example. And that's quite a challenge for each one of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the latter part of verse 5 says, casting down arguments from every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captive to the obedience of Christ. We are to capture our thoughts. Complaining begins with a thought. And we are to capture that and make it obedient to Christ. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And that's what we want to do, and what we should be striving to do every day. If it's missing from Christ's life and Christ's ministry, complaining should be missing from ours. And that's our lesson. If we can help you be a better service in God's work here, if we can help you become a Christian, we stand ready to help you in any way we can as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.